Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Vince.
And I'm Ashley.
And we are the lead pastors of the Outlet Community Church. And wherever you are in the world, our heart is to add value to your life.
That's right.
Whether it's an encouraging word, whether it's a topic in the Bible, whether it's a life skill that you're looking to develop and hone in on, allow us to be an outlet for you.
Yes, and our prayer is that wherever you are, whether you're right here in service or you're out in the world in the nation, listen, our prayer is that God meets you right where you are. We all have needs, we all have things, but our God is able, and He's able to bless you and get you where you need to be.
We have hundreds of hours of digital content that is available for you to consume free of charge. Freely we receive, freely we want to give it back to you. So make it a point to check out our page, check out our website at theoutletcommunity.com, and you'll be able to find countless hours of videos, podcasts, and other material to help you grow in your walk with God.
Hey, if you like some of the content, like, subscribe, share it, and we'd love that. See your family and friends.
So open up your heart and get ready to receive all that God has for you.
Praise and worship team. But how many of y'all know that growing up, you know, sometimes your parents and your grandparents, they raise you up on good hymnals, right? How many of y'all been raised up on good hymnals? And so my mom is watching from Michigan. Hey, mama. And so she made sure that she raised me up on good hymnals as well. And so as we continue on this joyful July journey, I'm reminded from a hymn from the book of Frankie Beverly and Mays. Because in my mind, it should be a hymnal book, right? And the title of this particular selection is called Joy and Pain. How many of y'all are familiar with that hymnal? Okay. And in that hymnal, it says, what does it say? Joy and pain is like what? Sunshine and rain. Then it also says, as you go further, it says, how come the things that make us happy make us sad? Okay. So what we're trying to get to and understand is, this is a paradox that we experience every day in our life. Knowing that we have everything we need in Christ, yet our life experiences don't match what we know to be true. And that causes the disappointment, the discontentment to interrupt our joy that we know we have in the Lord. And so our ability and responsibility to have joy is not based on our circumstances or what's done to us, but it's based on what's been done for us through Christ. And so I believe that God wants to bring some certainty and stability around this concept right here. God's promises are greater than our problems. God's character is greater than our crisis. And our experiences in life don't invalidate the promises of God. All right, let's pray. Lord, we come before you today just thankful that we are able to be in your presence, Father. The word says that in your presence is the fullness of joy. So, Lord, we are expecting and confidently excited to receive and experience your joy today. Lord, I pray that I completely decrease and that you increase. Holy Spirit, you are connected to my tongue. I don't want to say anything that hasn't been directed, led, and prompted by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. So, before we get into the message, it would be remiss if I didn't just take a quick moment just to recognize and appreciate our shepherds of this church, Pastors Ashley and Vincent Thomas. I give it up for them. As Pastor Vince said, we have known each other for over 12 years now at this point. And when I tell you that, I know that my life would not be the same had the Lord not connected us all that time back then. And as shepherds of this church, the labor, the prayer, everything that they do, just committed to loving God first and foremost and loving people, is truly unparalleled. I am continuously in awe of them and their ability to truly shepherd and pastor this church with the love, compassion, and integrity that is often lacking in other church spheres. We won't get into that. But I just want to honor our pastors and say thank you so much. I love you dearly, and thank you so much. So, okay. Amen. Y'all clap for that. Okay, so now into the message. So in the New Testament, there are actually 8 words for joy, but the most common that appears about 60 times is kara, and that means joy, calm delight, or inner gladness. And it's related to kairo, which means to rejoice, and charis, which means grace. So when we put all this together, I found it interesting because it means that joy is connected to our awareness of God's grace obtained through Jesus, as well as our reaction to it. So to put it all together, to give a basis for joy, biblical joy comes from the Lord. It is a perpetual, continual gladness of the heart that comes from knowing, experiencing, and trusting the Lord. And so, as I stated before, Jesus is our great example for everything. And he led by example for us being established in joy. Because like I said before, it was the joy set before him that pulled him to continue and persist through the horrors of the cross to obtain everything we need to live a victorious life. And so, since we have such a great example set before us, we're gonna examine today how we can remain truly joyful despite life's interruptions. So the title for today's message is Joy Interrupted. Okay, Joy Interrupted. So we are going to go ahead and get started. So the number one, how can we truly persist and maintain joy despite interruptions? The first one is that our problems are opportunities to see God's solutions. Okay, first one is that our problems are opportunities to see God's solutions. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 16, verse 33. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified translation. So it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you will have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. Okay. So in this particular passage of scripture, Jesus was preparing to leave and ascend back to heaven, and he was telling his disciples some of the things that you're going to experience when I leave. But he was reminding them that you can be filled with joy because he's already overcome the world. So biblical joy is choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction because we know that God will use these experiences to accomplish his work in and through our lives. A lot of times when we encounter issues or problems, we try harder, which can often lead to more problems. We try to manipulate and force things instead of trusting deeper, okay? So that we can recognize that even though we may be flooded with problems, with doubt, with disappointment, we can look at Noah's example and we know that wherever there's a flood, there's a promise that's attached to it. Okay? We have to understand that it's often the very problem or disappointment that we are faced with that God wants to use that as an opportunity to demonstrate his love, his power, and faithfulness and be the solution that we have been searching for. And we see examples of this all throughout scripture. So there's just a couple of reminders that I have. We're not going to go to those scriptures, but I just want to reference them. So the betrayal of Joseph's brothers found in Genesis 37 through 50, and his eventual enslavement was actually the freedom that his family would need. Right? The thorn in Paul's side in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, Paul is pleading and begging, asking the Lord, remove this thorn. But it was that very weakness that weakened him, the thorn that weakened him, that caused the power of God to rest on him. Right? And ultimately, like we said, our perfect example is Jesus. The crucifixion that was meant to humiliate and kill Jesus was the very situation that afforded eternal life to all that believed in him and gave him authority and complete absolute authority on earth. So as we can see in these examples, before the very foundation of the world, before Adam and Eve ever were in the garden, before there was a mess up or hiccup with that, before any of these things happened, God had a solution already fully worked out. Right? We can have joy despite the problems that life throws at us, because despite not having all the answers, we know the God who does. So, from this point out, we're going to change language. I believe that language is important. As an educator, I always make sure that my students know, and now that I'm in a role as administrator, that my teachers know, everyone knows that what we say, because we know that words have power, right? And so the narrative that you have and that you create tends to be the one that you can walk out. So from this point forward, we're going to make a promise, okay? So instead of saying that we have a problem whenever we're facing something, we're going to say we have an opportunity to see God's solutions. Can we agree to that? Amen. So we don't have problems. We don't have issues. The only thing that we have are opportunities to see God's solutions. Amen. Okay, so we're going to agree that that's our new normal. Okay, awesome. Okay, the second way that we can handle and navigate life's interruptions to joy is to realize that delayed responses provide an opportunity for greater revelation about Jesus. Okay? Delayed responses provide an opportunity for greater revelation about Jesus. Right? There was a study done in the early 70s by a psychologist, Walter Mischel. And before I tell you this study, I just want to say, parents, all the parents out here, do not try to replicate this study with your own children, okay? Do not try to replicate what I'm going to tell you and do this with your own children and have them sitting in the room. Don't try to do that, because that's not what's up. And if I find out, I'm going to have to report you, because I'm a mandated reporter. But I'm just joking. But no, but the purpose is for this point, I think it's important. So in this study in the 70s, they took 4 and 5-year-old children, and they put them in a room, and they put a marshmallow in front of them. It's called the marshmallow experiment. And they told the children, the researcher said, hey, I'll be back. If when I come back, the marshmallow is still here, you'll get a second one, right? But if it's not, you won't get anything. So the researchers were gone for 15 minutes. When they came back, you had some children who obviously ate it right away, some children who tried to wait but still ate it, and you had some children who actually waited the entire time and got the second marshmallow. So they followed these children over 40 years. They did a longitudinal study, and what they noticed is that those children that were able to wait and get the second marshmallow, wait the 15 minutes, they had greater life outcomes, higher SAT scores from high school. They had higher annual salaries, just better overall life outcomes. And so the ability to delay the gratification and wait for that delayed response led to a greater life outcome for those individual children. Okay, and so turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And I'm once again reading from the Amplified Translation. It says, "The Lord does not delay as though he were unable to act, and is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is extraordinarily patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Now, this context of this scripture was that people were trying to say, when does the Lord come back? When is he coming back? And so Peter was trying to tell them, listen, he's not slow or unable or anything. He just wants to make sure that anybody and everybody has an opportunity to come to him. But I believe that it doesn't just apply to waiting for his return, because there are some things that God wants to do in you and through you. He knows what's best, when's best, and who's best to get that accomplished. He wants his dream fulfilled for our lives way more than we do. But sometimes we can hold on to so much of the pain, the hurt, and disappointment of unmet expectations that we leave no room for God to exceed them. And we know that in Ephesians 3:20, God doesn't promise to meet our expectations. He never did. He always and only promised to do exceedingly above anything we can ask or think. Okay? So we, and even if it's not we, I'll just tell on myself. I'll just say I know I can get to a point where it would just be easier if the longing or the desire that I had would just go away. It would be. I have told the Lord plenty of times, Lord, if you fully want me to have joy, just take away my desire for X, Y, and Z. Because then at least I won't have to deal with the pain, disappointment, embarrassment of getting my hopes up and then nothing happening. And if I'm honest with you, even more transparent, I've gotten tired of hearing the wait is worth it. Them that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm tired of hearing that. And you have nothing to show for it. And you have to sit by and watch the same people who are holding on to the promise that you want tell you these things, but your hand's still empty. How many of y'all can agree and have been there? Amen. And so going on this joy journey has led me into places of vulnerability I never thought that I could get to or would get to with the Lord. But it made me realize that our hope must be in the Lord and not in the thing we want or desire. See, the reason why I would get into those spaces is because I was placing my hope in that thing, in that desire. And whenever you place your hope in a desire or a want, you're always going to be left lacking because nothing in this world was meant to truly satisfy us. And so until Jesus is enough, nothing will be. He doesn't become enough when we get what we desire. So some of us think when we get it, then, oh, thank you, Jesus. You supply all my needs. No, he's enough in and of himself. Amen? And so I can give personal examples. I started back teaching in 2008. The first school I was at, I loved that school. I made lifelong family and relationships. Some of them are here today at that place. And when I was there, people would always tell me, you're not going to be in the classroom long. You're going to advance. You're going to be promoted. You're not going to be in the classroom long. And so in the classroom, and then still in the classroom, and then people that started after me or with me went on to do other things. I would help them prepare for interviews, help them get ready. They would get promoted, and where am I? Still in the classroom. And then I would see people from years later. They'd be like, oh, Pendergrass, what you doing? It's like, oh, I'm teaching high school. And they'd be like, oh. You know how some people give that, oh, like, that's cute. And then you could tell inside, they're like, why is she still, you know, all those different things. And so it was during those different things I started to doubt myself and be like, well, Lord, what's going on? Like, I'm going to interviews, being told all these different things. And through those different opportunities and times, thank God, now I did receive the promotion. Amen. I'm on the other side of that. But going through those different struggles, the more that I had to climb over those mountains of disappointment and frustration, the closer it brought me to Jesus and who he wants me to be in his life. So that delay and the response that I thought I wanted immediately actually brought me closer, much, much, much closer to Jesus and who he is and who he wants me to be. And I would not be standing before you today had I not had to go through those different experiences and those trials. Okay? Turn with me to Psalms chapter 39, verse 7. Psalms chapter 39, verse 7. And this is going to come actually from the Passion Translation because I kind of like how it broke it down. It says, and now, God, I'm left with one conclusion. My only hope is to hope in you alone. I don't think it can get any more plainer than that. Only conclusion, and this is David writing. We know all the things that David went through. And he said, at the end of the day, despite all this, my hope can only be in you alone. So what we can't do is fall for the trap, right? So Eve in the garden, we know that the garden had everything that they could want, need, or desire. God created it that way. But Satan came in and got her to focus on what? The one thing that she didn't have. And so by getting her to focus on that one thing she didn't have, she discredited all the great things she did have, and it started to feel like God was withholding something good from her. So we cannot confuse delay with denial. Okay? Just because it didn't happen now or this time, it does not mean it's never going to happen. Okay? And with God, I can assure you that the outcome is always worth the wait. Amen. Okay. So the next component to deal with life trying to interrupt our joy is that sometimes our plans are ruined so that we are not ruined. Sometimes our plans are ruined so that we are not ruined. You turn with me to Psalms chapter 119, verse 50. Psalms chapter 119, verse 50. And while you're turning to that particular passage of scripture, I will say, and I'm going to make sure I temper it back so Pastor won't be like, girl, don't get up there and say all that. But I do think that some of us are familiar with the charismatic movement in terms of the word of faith movement, right? The name it and claim it, they typically call it. And it says that basically if you declare and decree and say these things and trust the Lord, then poof, you're going to get everything that you put your trust in. And I do think that there were a lot of benefits. I came up in, you know, as a result of the fruit of that movement, so I'm definitely not discrediting it. But I do think that it was a little bit incomplete in discussing the more day-to-day realities of what it means to walk out by faith, okay? So in Psalms 119, verse 50, I'm reading again from the Passion Translation. It says, "In all of my affliction, I find great comfort in your promises, for they have kept me alive." Oftentimes, we struggle to find joy when things don't go according to plan because we've crafted plans about how our lives are supposed to look and unfold and the Lord's role in making that happen. So we've said, by this age or time, I'm going to accomplish these things, and I'm going to do this and do this. And Lord, you got to help me find the person. You got to help me find a way to pay for this. You just got to do all of that. Wave your magic wand, then I can praise you, because that's your plan for my life. And we've convinced ourselves that the plan that we crafted is the plan that God has for our life. Okay? And we must realize that faith is not our demands and desires for a specific outcome. That's not faith. Faith, I'm going to say it one more time, is not our demands and desires for a specific outcome. That's not what faith is. What faith is our dependence on Christ in any outcome. Okay? So we can't just say and name and claim and say, I'm going to have faith that I'm going to get $7 billion in my bank account tomorrow and claim that thing and tell the Lord to do it and then be looking around like, okay, it didn't happen, so that means I don't have enough faith. No, that's not faith. Okay? It's not based on an outcome. It's based on the character of God and Jesus despite any outcome. Okay? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8. And this one is coming from the New Living Translation. I'm all over translations because certain ones kind of elucidate and bring forward different things that I think really hit home into what the Lord wants us to focus in on today. So anyway, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8, New Living Translation, verse 7 says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water." Verse 8, "Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green," and I want us to focus in on this part, "and they never stop producing fruit." I talked about earlier from the great psalmist, Frankie Beverly Mays, when he said, "Joy and pain are like sunshine and rain." That means those are things that happen. Sunshine and rain are a constant cycle. Joy and pain, constant cycle, right? But in this verse, it says that these trees, so our trust has to be so rooted in who God is and what he's done for us, that it doesn't matter if it's a drought, It doesn't matter if it's heat. It doesn't matter if it's a flood. It doesn't matter. Nothing happens. Your leaves will stay green, and you don't stop producing fruit. Okay? The measurement of God's faithfulness is not desirable circumstances. That's why I stated before, the measurement of God's faithfulness is not desirable outcomes of what you think or what you want to happen, but it's the fruit that is developed in us. It is the fruit that is developed in us that is the true measurement of God's faithfulness. Going back to the example that I gave earlier about my, you know, journey professionally with teaching and education in general, the first school that I was teaching at, I was there for going into my fourth year, and I had all these plans. I was finishing up my master's. I was going to join a specific organization. I had all these plans about doing things. I even was able to come in early in the summer and set my classroom up. So I was excited and ready to go. And then I find out that actually, due to some certification issues I wasn't made aware of, I actually didn't have a job. I didn't have that position. I had been let go. I had to resign because that's just what happened. And so it threw my world into a tailspin, obviously, because I'm like, I need a job. I got to finish my master's. So I go to church that following Sunday. And the church I was at a particular time, I had finished the membership classes and all the things to serve like 2 years before. I just never served anywhere. So when I got to church, the Lord was like, you're going to serve in the youth department. And I was like, I work with kids all day. I'm not trying to serve in the youth department. I'll do something else. Let me be in a parking lot ministry. I'll do something else. I don't want to do that all day. And he's like, no, that's what you're going to do. And so I go ahead and do that. Now, newly installed at the time, youth pastors were two people by the name of Ashley and Vincent Thomas. So I began serving in the youth department down there. And my life has never been the same since. Serving in that youth department, being connected with the gift and the anointing that's on their lives, transformed me in ways I couldn't imagine. Couldn't even imagine. And so my plans for what I thought my life would look like were ruined. But I'm glad that they were. Because what it got me to and the place that it got me would have never happened. Now, I want to say this. Don't get in condemnation. We're not powerful enough to mess up the plan God has for our life. I want to be clear. So we're not powerful enough. God, you know, if we kind of veer off, God has different ways to get us back. But my point that I'm trying to make is that it's not up to us to understand God's plan. That's not what we're required to do. We're not required to understand it. We're only required to follow it. Okay? And there are certain things that only come from obedience. There are certain revelations, certain victorious realities that have been obtained that you can only release and manifest through obedience. And obedience is not about perfection. It's about purpose and intentionality, okay? It's about purpose and intentionality, staying connected to the Lord and figuring out what I need to do and the next steps I need to take to make sure that I'm adhering to your will for my life. And just because it didn't happen how we planned or thought doesn't mean that it's never going to happen. Amen? Amen. So the next way that we can handle and deal with life's interruptions is letting go of perfection doesn't mean lowering our standards. It means raising them. Okay? So letting go of perfection doesn't mean lowering our standards. It means raising them. Okay? So turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 9. And so I'm reading from the Amplified Translation. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So in this particular passage of scripture, the Lord is telling us that any expectation that you have placed on your life or any destination, that you have been influenced to feel like you have to achieve in order to be perfect, in order to, you know, reach this level of perfectionism, he's saying that my thoughts and ways are higher than even that, way higher. So it is really pointless for us to believe that we can obtain a level of perfection on our own, because the Lord is already telling us anything that you can think of, I'm way, way beyond that. Right? And a lot of times perfectionism is like a sneaky thing. It's not always people who are like, I'm a perfectionist, I have to do this and that. Sometimes it can be very elusive and kind of slip its way in when it's focused on control and reaching a particular destination, and it's focusing on looking inward, looking at self. So typically we have good motives. People want to do well. That's not a bad thing, right? But we distort them when we try to obtain them through our own efforts, because our eyes become focused on ourselves and how we measure up, when they need to be on Jesus, because he already made us perfect through his sacrifice. The word says that that perfection was imputed. Imputed just means applied. So perfection was applied to us through what he did. Okay? So he's already made us perfect. And now what I'm not telling you to do is to just go to work and be like, well, on Sunday she said, I don't have to be a perfectionist, so I'm not doing my job. Because you will be perfectly unemployed. Right? So that is not what I'm saying. Don't go home and be like, I'm not going to clean up because I don't have to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, excellence and perfection are two totally different things, right? So we should strive to be excellent in all that we do. Amen? Okay, please. Okay, great. But what I'm saying is that Jesus never asks for our perfection, because he already obtained it for us. All he asks for is our obedience, and he tells us that his requirements are light and easy. Amen? So, our inabilities, our lacks, our areas of growth, for lack of a better word, are pathways and precursors to God's never-ending ability to do what only he can do. So we need to strive less and abide more. Okay. In Psalm 16:11, God tells us that in his presence is the fullness of joy. In his presence is the fullness of joy. And so if there's any area of your life where you are struggling to express or walk out or enjoy the fullness of joy, I'm going to invite you to think about inviting the presence of the Lord and being aware of what he's already done in that particular area. Because that's where the fullness of joy is found, not from our efforts. So it means that we must commit ourselves to spending time in intimate communication with God until we stop relying on ourselves to perform our way to his promises. So, as I said it before, if there's any area of your life where you are not able to fully express and walk out the fullness of joy that the Lord has already obtained for you, then that's an indicator. Like you get in your car, a little indicator, tire pressure sensor, this, that. That is an indicator to you. That is your sensor telling you, I need to spend a little bit more time in communication with the Lord. And not just, you know, the surface level stuff, intimate communication. We need to tell the Lord we're angry with him. We need to get real with our feelings and our emotions and our thoughts so that he can then say, thank you, I was waiting for that. Now that you've dropped that, you drop that baggage, you drop those things, now you can pick up what I have for you. Because your hands were holding on to so much, they closed. He needs you to release it so that he can download what you really need. Amen? So, in closing, we're about to go to our exit ticket or ticket out the door for those educators that are in here. Do we have any educators in here? Yay, educators. Give it up for the educators. Our summertime is dwindling. I know that the parents are happy. School is around the corner, but I heard some amen, some real loud ones over there. But any good teacher knows that you don't let your students leave without knowing what they know or if they got it. And that's typically the exit ticket or the ticket out of the door. So we're going to go ahead and make sure if you get these wrong, you can't leave. You got to stay and listen to the message all over again. I'm just playing. So the first point, we know that we can have joy despite life's interruptions because we don't have problems. What do we have? Opportunities to seek God's solutions. Very good. Y'all got so far, it's four of them. So you've got one out of four. So right now we at 25%. Good job. Okay. The next one is that we can be okay with delayed responses because they lead to not greater opportunity, lead to a greater what? Revelation of who? Jesus. When all else fails, just say Jesus in church. That typically be the correct answer to the problem. Yes. So delayed responses lead to a greater revelation of Jesus. Good job. Now we're at 50%, two out of four. All right. Third one. So sometimes our plans are ruined so that what? We're not ruined. Plans are ruined so that we weren't ruined. 75%, three out of four. One more to go. One more. You got bonus. You got extra credit. Okay? So, letting go of perfection isn't lowering our standards, but what? Raising them to the Lord whose ways and thoughts are way above any that we can ever achieve. Right? So, joy is setting in our mind. Oh, by the way, 100%. Give yourselves a hand. Y'all can leave on time. Y'all don't have to stay back and listen again. Do the assessment again. Y'all got it. Joy is setting in our mind that instead of trying to achieve on our own, we're going to receive what Jesus has already done. Confident in God's faithfulness and purpose in our lives over what we see, hear, experience, or think. And making a determined choice to praise God in every situation. So, I'm going to implore you as you continue on to seek to be content in Christ above everything and anything else. And you will find that even in the most difficult circumstances, he will prove himself and he'll make his promises real to you again. Amen. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this time spent together in your word, this time being built up and shored up in joy. Lord, I thank you and I pray that every individual, whether in person or online, received exactly what you intended for them to receive today so they can live a life-changing journey confident and rooted in your purpose and your plan for their lives over what they see, hear, think, and can tangibly experience. Lord, I pray that anyone has come in here with any form or any symptom of any sickness or disease, Father, I pray complete and utter and total healing over their body from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. And Lord, I pray confidently that we will leave here walking out, assuring and knowing that no matter what we face outside, it's not an issue, it's truly an opportunity to see your solution. In Jesus' name, amen.